The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's Andy. Welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. Bit of an advantage today as we're bringing you right up to date with the latest news. And we've seen that Welsh Netball have appointed Helen Manufaur, who's joining as their first ever EDI director. Find out what that means shortly, but first, the news yesterday that Elaine Rice is going to be replacing Dan Ryan at Netball Northern Ireland. And we've been speaking to her about that decision.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's your fourth time back with the side, so I suppose despite that time away, you don't really lose interest in how the side's doing?
No, you don't. From when I was young, I supported Northern Ireland and the netball, and I aspired to play for it. Then I played for it. I captained the team. Then I came back as a coach. And even when I'm not coaching, you're watching, you analyse it, you're looking to see the best of the players. You know, you can't not support them. It's within you now. A great squad, great players, great management teams have been in the past as well. And I suppose in a whole lot of levels, they're your friends and you're the people that you know so well, and you want them to just do well within it.
You'll know a lot of the players already, but how much of an advantage will that be? Or is it just about maintaining bonds and welcoming new players to the side?
I do know a number of players. I would say in the squad of 20, I've worked with quite a bit, with between about 10 and 12 of them. I'm very conscious that we don't get comfortable, you know, being too comfortable, that everybody has to start on an even keel. And I'm conscious that for the other players that maybe haven't worked with me before, then they need to find their voice and feel their value within the squad. So it's important that the players that have worked with before know me and know me well. But what has happened before, in a lot of ways, is a bit irrelevant, because this is about now and this is our challenge now. So it's about making sure that collectively we go forward as a larger group, as opposed to me and the ones that I knew from before.
What do you think might be some of those challenges you face?
So my first priority is to get us back together on court, working together. We have geographical restrictions that maybe other nations don't encounter to the same extent, with a lot of the players now based in England playing in the Super League. But so that would be one of our challenges, getting that team cohesion back that we pride ourselves on. The second one is some of our positions, we are lacking some depth. So now it's about testing those younger players who I feel are ready to come through. So it's about pushing them now and seeing how far they can go with it. So that would be our two key challenges at the minute.
The fact that we see a lot of players in the Super League, though, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, definitely. It's in a way, the Super League has given some of the players wonderful opportunities to develop their game, to challenge and play against some of the best players in the world, play with and against some of the best players in the world. And that's fantastic. It's fantastic for the individual player who has no doubt great aspirations. And it's great for the players, for Northern Ireland as a collective team. The one thing I would say, it disrupts our preparations. You know, prior to so many being in the Super League, we trained every Monday, Wednesday and Thursday night collectively. So while it no doubt very beneficial, it's also quite disruptive in terms of the national team's preparations.
Well, I don't mind that one bit, because Niamh and Emma at Storm, although I'm not allowed to be biased on this one. How difficult then will it be over the next couple of months just to maintain that top 12?
We have a plan in place that I feel confident that when we get our gears back, we will be training quite a bit over the summer. The one thing is that the vast majority of them have a good solid base here in Northern Ireland. So when we're home, we can get together and we can train quite a bit. The gears also have a great appetite for it. We don't want to be top 12, we want to be in the top 8. That's our aspirations. And for that to happen, you have to work really, really hard collectively. So we feel that particularly this summer months is an opportunity where we can almost work full-time as Northern Ireland athletes, push ourselves and work really hard collectively, again, to work on that team cohesion and develop that depth.
Maybe wrong way to phrase the question, but has Dan left the side in positive shape, in a good form for you?
Yes and no, not entirely.
All right.
It's more more COVID related than anything that's impacting. Dan was unfortunate to come in whenever COVID also hit. So the squad haven't been together. It's not that they're necessarily in a bad shape. It's just a bit disjointed and a bit disorganized. So there's that work to have to happen.
Is the first priority for you then come games qualification?
Yes, that's a key priority. We have a number of matches planned within that ranking matches to ensure that qualification. If we want to be part of the Commonwealth Games, we have been at the last two, and the learning that happens, the potential for us to grow, it's such an important marker for us. In order to do that, you obviously have to be top 12 in the world. But again, our aspirations are beyond that. And if we aren't playing with and against the top nations, then we're not going to get that. It's a huge milestone. And for a whole lot of Netballers, they see it as the pinnacle of their sporting career and obviously the World Cup. So with it being a home games as well, then that adds to the glamour of it in a whole lot of ways. And I know that more of our players would hopefully be in the shop window, that more of our players then can maybe be approached by Super League franchises going forward, given more of our players opportunity to develop further, which would only help Northern Ireland as a nation.
So realistically, how soon do you get everybody together? Is it in the summer months after the league finish?
That's a plan. So at the minute, the Northern Ireland based players are training with our Emerging Warriors squad under the direction of Claire Winning, who was the assistant coach at the World Cup. So nice. There is a continuity there, and the work with Mike Bentley, the S&C, has been fantastic. I'm watching the body shape of some of our young athletes turn completely to that of an international netballer. So then with that, depending on how players, franchises and their teams do in the Super League, some of them might be available slightly before others, depending, but only be a week or two anyway. So the plan is really from the start of July to be full time, more or less, where that then the priority shifts obviously from the franchises right over to Northern Ireland. We have a busy summer. We have a few plans in place for matches and stuff. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say them or if it's been released or not yet, but the plan is that we would get matches, ranking matches in the summer as well.
Well, it's a really happy return for you. When we've only just launched the Netball and I podcast, but we've already got a bonus episode 24 hours later. So happy about that.
Oh, good. It's great. There is a strong appetite for Netball Northern Ireland, and they really bond together so well in support of the national team. I suppose it's relative to the small population size. That, you know, our players are known. Our players are willing to go and help in clubs when somebody needs a hand, and that obviously works on the board focus of the strongest together. You know that we are together, we're a collective unit, and I hope the podcast goes very well with it too.
Good answer. Elaine, it's a great appointment, and hopefully we'll speak real soon.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you, Andy. Thank you.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. Thank you for being there. Remember, our DMs are always open. We're at the Netball Show on Twitter. Time now to hear from Helen Manufort, who's been announced today as Welsh Netball's first ever Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Director.
It's really exciting. I do like the way the Welsh, where their intent and where they're going to go. Anybody who knows me knows my love and passion for netball. So anything that creates opportunity for all, and you know, get more people playing the game, or the people playing the game, to make them feel really you know, wanted, and just making it sure it's fair. And yeah, I played for England, but my first game was against Wales all the way back in the 90s. So you know, yeah, like they say, it's very fitting that I end up back in Wales to start this kind of like journey.
It's almost full circle, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's exciting, because I think people don't know a lot of what Welsh Netball's doing, and they do a lot of projects, and you know, it's just not highlighted. So it's just coming in to join them and help them like really highlight it, get it even more inclusive, you know. So, I love a challenge. I love something new. I love change. So, to me, it's like one massive, it's going to be an enormous project for the people of Welsh and Welsh netball, you know. So, I don't know. I'm just excited. Can't wait.
I can tell you're smiling. You're smiling.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm always smiling. And, you know, it is. And I'm really, really grateful to Wells for giving me this opportunity. I think they've seen over the years the differences, like through my Gilbert role, through little developments I've done in Nigeria or workshops and the different... I did a bit of during the London 2012 for Nigeria. I was the AO. And so it's just all this different knowledge, and I want to give back.
Tell us a bit about some of that work you did for Team Nigeria.
So with Nigeria, my whole aim when I retired was, let's see if we can get Nigeria netball recognised, reintroduced. So I was going back years, it takes years. People have to understand Nigeria is a very big place. It was really to get that recognition, and so the international family actually netball start the base, get the foundations laid. So I did a little bit of that with Netball Nigeria, and then while I was there, so you know how all the different departments connect, managed to work for the sports ministry for the London 2012. I was based here, and they could see what I was doing and my passion for sport. So they had me working on this side, working with the Olympic sporting committees for Africa, and just like the liaison person. So for their training camps, talking to the people in Surrey. And I was doing this all like vocation, voluntary, because it was all in my free time, weekends, or I was using, for the actual Olympics, I used my holiday. So from work to actually do that, to do the role. But I learned so much. It's just, it's a different world when you get there. And these are little bits little snippets from there that I might be able to add or share. And just watch how the different sports, you know, the best practices from different sports. I think I could definitely bring something to the netball world, definitely Welsh netball.
You did some work for UNICEF as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, so UNICEF held a project. So while I was in Nigeria, we had a project in the capital, Abuja. They brought in girls, they brought in the different senators came up. And it was, again, to sensitise people to sport for young girls, some women, and its impact. So the empowering effect, you know, and being inclusive, being a team, working together for a common goal, and it does, it builds girls' confidence, and that is what netball does. That's the beauty of the game, and the beauty of the teamwork, the clubs, the workshops, joining together when women get together or girls get together, or even mixed now with mixed netball coming in. And I've even been talking to the EMMNA, based in England, and looking at what they've been doing, and that's exciting with mixed netball, men's netball. And so, you know, the netball world is not just one traditional netball female, it's growing, and that's what excites me, I think, going forward. And the Welsh have given me a little platform to work with them on pushing this forward, so I'm like, yeah!
Yes, please.
I'm
yes,
really
please.
Happy.
Your new role at Wales, it'll be highlighting some of the work they do in the communities as well?
Definitely. I'm all from the bottom up. So definitely what is on the ground. And I think when I was interviewed, I was really trying to get that across. It's not just that top level governance and tick boxes. I'm more, let's get into it. What is on your ground? What is happening in your clubs or your regions and the grassroots, seeing what impacts, how we can increase that and make people feel even more welcome or more engaging for them, the sport. And especially with Wales and the Welsh language as well. So it's looking how that can be implemented into the game, you know, their country, their language.
How's your Welsh getting on? Do you need to be fluent in Welsh?
I will. The worst thing is, languages is definitely not my forte. I just about can speak English. No, I just definitely will pick up the words and push it through. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm not meant to be, if I don't speak it, I'm definitely going to be working with people who do speak it. And that's to me, that's what's important. It's engaging the community and the right type of people.
It's a really strong appointment for Wales. You've got that wealth of experience,
you.
Haven't you?
And I've got a tear in my eye. Makes me cry a little bit. And, it's quite emotional.
You'll be a driving force in this role. So, Helen, congratulations.
No, thank you very much, Andy. Thank you.
We'll be back next week with the latest from the league. And if there's something going on at your club, send us a DM. We're at The Netball Show on Twitter.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Raising the bar for netball and women's sport.